We have been talking a lot about, we started to talk a lot about our new building. We said 2 weeks ago there's a change coming, and if you haven't heard that message, then it would be well worth your while if you're a part of what we're doing here or you want to be a part of what we're doing, just to refresh yourself and remind yourself of what the Lord is going to do through us. And we said this, there is a change coming. The Lord has spoke prophetically. He has spoke deep into our hearts, and he said, now is the time to move. It was about this time last year that we bought the building. The Lord gave us about a year to recover, and now he's saying it's time to go again, because there are lives at stake. And what I love about that prophetic word that God gave us about one door closing and then another door opening, it would be seven times greater, that it's also linked with next door in the sense of the moment that we started to step into this change season, the moment that we started to respond spiritually to what the Lord was calling us to do, then he quickly confirmed it with souls being saved. And that is going to be the hallmark of what we're going to do, because we have come to reach a city, to save a city, and to see people's lives turned around. And the way that we see the fruit of that better than ever is when people ask the Lord into their lives. And so I want you to continue to pray for that. We're going to have to pray. We have been looking at the story of Nehemiah because we believe it's a blueprint of what the Lord has called us to. And we'll look at it maybe next week, where it says in Nehemiah chapter 4 where they had to pray because they recognized that there was opposition all along the way. And if they didn't pray, that opposition was going to overcome them. And so I'm going to encourage you, we're going to become people of prayer. In fact, what they said was and what they did was they started to have 24/7 prayer. We think that's a new thing. They were doing it back in Nehemiah's day. They were doing it back 3,000 years ago because they recognized the power of prayer brings breakthrough in the natural and the supernatural. And we are men and women that both live in the supernatural, but we contend in the flesh. We contend in the here and now because this is where the Lord has us. And so this morning what we're going to do is we're going to remind ourselves of another part of the journey, and God is preparing our hearts for this next season. And I think what we're doing is we're praying about just seeking God, but I believe in probably about a couple of weeks' time we're going to start to really share the vision. We're going to put some stuff on the screen, just going to really share the vision of what the Lord of the next, what the next season is going to look like, and what our building next door is going to give you a bit of an idea of what that's going to look like, and then give us opportunity to start to get involved in that and to start to take part in that. But just as we're going on this journey, the Lord is preparing our hearts, and here's what the Lord says this morning, that we have an assignment, that we have an assignment. And if we have an assignment, then what is my assignment? And I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you've never thought of this before. Maybe you've never, this has been something that's never been in your heart before, or maybe not even in your mind before, or maybe it has for a long time, but you've neglected it. But God says this morning, I have an assignment for your life. Anybody think back to years ago when you were in uni and you got assignments? They were a dread. I hated assignments. I still have recurring nightmares of assignments that were due, that were not due. I don't know. What happens is sometimes I wake up, I have this dream. It's around March, April time, you know, when you're getting the final 2 or 3 months of your university degree. And I have this recurring dream every few years, and I wake up in a cold sweat, and it's that the assignment is due and I haven't even begun it, which is probably a real fact. But thankfully, I wake up and I realize that's way behind me 15 years ago when it's all done. But assignments are one of those things that if you've done them, you know that they can be a pretty difficult thing. And then, of course, if you've been on the other side, if you're a teacher or have been a teacher, then you don't even like assignments either, because you have to read all sorts of nonsense and you have to mark it and try to find marks out of this nonsense. So it's like, it's one of these things where, well, what's the point? What's the purpose? But the Lord says this morning that there's biblical assignment that he sets before us, which has the same principles attached, but they're for greater purpose. And God has created each and every one of us for greater purpose. And here's the way an assignment kind of works, is that you get the task, you get the brief, you get whatever you have to do, and then you aim to complete it. And once you do, then it carries impact. And hopefully you get a positive impact because you get a good mark, or it helps you to move to the next stage or to the next season of your course or wherever, whatever you're doing. But unfortunately, there's the same thing can happen on the other side, where we get set a task, we don't complete it, and then there's a negative impact. And God says this morning, I want to grab your attention, because I have an assignment for each and every one of our lives, especially when we look to next door and we think about the Nehemiah project. And again, we're going to read some verses in just a moment. But I want to grab our attention to say this, that God has an assignment for your life. And it's our job to find that assignment, and then it's our job to faithfully serve in that assignment. And here's the thing, I'll let you into a secret which we're going to look at later on. There's only one thing worse than a personal assignment, and it's a group assignment. And this assignment that God has set us is a group assignment. And so we're going to have to get okay with that. We're going to have to trust each other. We're going to have to be there for each other. We're going to have to work hard for each other. We're going to have to realize that the way this vision is going to work and the vision that God has given us is one of this, where this piece goes down, then another piece goes down, another piece goes down, another piece goes down. And we start to build the walls. We start to build the foundations. We start to build what God has intended us to build. Too often and for too long, what has happened in the church world within Christians is that we start to build our own things. And so I'm building here and you're building there and this person's building here. And what are we doing? We're building stepping stones instead of building the things that God has called us to build. And so this morning, God wants to reveal to our hearts that we're going to not only do we have an assignment personally, but we're going to do this assignment together because it is a group assignment. God has given us a huge vision. Let me just reiterate what the vision is that God has given us. To rebuild and restore my people in Armagh. That is a huge task. And only through God's help will we achieve that. But here's what I want us to do. Not get overwhelmed with the pressure, but get overwhelmed with joy. Get overwhelmed with excitement that God has an assignment for you in this huge plan. He says that you're able to do it. He says that you're worth it. He says that your part will be essential. He says that no matter whatever ability you carry, whatever hurts you carry, whatever past you carry, whatever pain you carry, he has you here for such a time as this. And 2 weeks ago, we said it. I kind of made it uncomfortable. You're here for a reason. You're not here by coincidence. You're not here because you just felt like it. You're not here because somebody dragged you. You are here for this season. And you're maybe sitting there going, I wish I wasn't here. But the Lord says, you are here. And so he's trying to grab your heart and he's trying to grab your attention. And maybe you've been on the fringes, or maybe you've just been straight through, or maybe you're thinking about going out. God says, no, hold fast. Because I have an assignment for you to do. And here's the way all kingdom assignment works. Everyone's got a part to play. And if you don't play your part, then it is incomplete. And we've got to wait for someone to come that fulfills that assignment. And the Lord says, I've got an urgency in this thing. Because there are lives at stake. There are souls at stake. And God is trying to get our attention over and over and over again. Church, this morning, we need to be excited. And we should be excited. Because we're in these days where God is doing great things. And he has drawn our attention. And he's drawn our hearts. And he said, hey, I have a specific role for you in this assignment of being part of what's happening next door. And through you and through everybody else, we are going to see a city restored and rebuilt. This is good news. This is exciting for us to grab attention to. And if we're not feeling good news, then the Lord wants to deal with our hearts and he wants to deal with this because what has probably happened is we've been beat down and beat up so much that we think we're good for nothing and we're worthless. And the Lord says, I take all of that mess and I restore it. I take all of that brokenness and I turn it around for my glory. I take all of those pieces and I use them to build a wall. I take all of those pieces. What I've learned about vision over this last few years is this, is that vision seems to work like pieces. We seem to speak it out, pardon me. We seem to speak it out. And as we speak it out, it's just a dream. It's just something in our gears. It's just something out there. But as you hear it, as you hear the vision, what God needs us to do is take a hold of part of that vision. And so what we do is we take a piece of it. We take a piece of it. And as we take a piece of it, and as we start to work on our piece and accomplish our piece, and we bring it together with everyone else, it's almost like that incredible jigsaw. When we put all the pieces in, we put all the things in, then suddenly we get this beautiful picture. Or maybe it's like a wall, like we've been talking about in Nehemiah. When we bring all these blocks together, when we bring all these pieces together, and then we build, suddenly we have something that's of substance. Suddenly we have something that we've worked at together. And God, the word of the Lord this morning for each and every one of our hearts is this, is that he has an assignment for you. It's a group assignment, and you're going to accomplish it together with this people in this room. And there will be others that join, and there will be others that come. But the Lord says, I am doing something fresh, and I'm doing something new with you. This is a God moment, and this is a God season that we get to be a part of. This is what we read last week, Nehemiah 2:20. This is Nehemiah saying, I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We have to keep reminding this. I'm not advocating a tattoo, but you've got to write this thing on your heart that as we step out in these next few years, as we go after this project, which is way bigger than us, as we go after not to build a building, that's just what's happening. We're going out to restore a city. But as we go out, we have to write this on our hearts. The God of heaven will give us success. The God of heaven will give us success. And even check the tense that it's written in. It's not that he has given us success. It's that he will give us success every day. God, you've got to give me success. God, you've got to be there for me. God, you've got to be with me. And remember, our success is not his success, because our success would be, Lord, dump $2 or $3 million in each one of our bank accounts and we're all stinking filthy rich. No, that is not the way the Lord's going to do it. His success will be, seek me with all your heart and you'll find me. Pray diligently and fervently and watch how the enemy will not overcome you. Pray for the people around you. Pray for those enemies that despise you and are against you, and watch how I will turn them around. Watch how I will use them for my glory. Watch how as you go for me, I will go with you and I will help you to overcome. His success is different, but this is what we've got to remember. The God of heaven will give us success. This is what the Lord says. Our goal is that we go with the Lord and he will give us success. And we will do it with faith. We will do it through faith. I think sometimes we reckon that if we had more than enough money, we would achieve every one of our dreams. I want to encourage you this morning that things don't happen because we don't have enough money. Things don't happen because we lose hope and we lose sight of the focus and the goal that God has given us. And church, this morning, I want to encourage you that if you keep this goal and this focus on your heart, there are no limits to the things that the Lord will do through you. And he will take the little that you have and he will multiply it through you. But church, this morning, we've got to gather our hearts. We've got to remind ourselves. We've got to plug into what God has called us to. We've got to say, yes, I am really here for such a time as this. Yes, I have been called for this. Yes, I've been through this. Yes, I've been through that. But God has called me for this moment, and he is going to restore everything that has been broken, and he's going to make me a restorer of a city. He's going to make me a linchpin. He's going to make me a block in the wall. He's going to make me a person of importance in the destiny of the King of Kings. And church, this morning, this is what God's trying to remind us of, is that he has a destiny for this city, and it's not complete yet. And he has given us the privilege to be a part of this destiny. And he says, will you, will you, will you? And that's what he asks for. Will you? Will you go for it? Will you go after it? Will you stay faithful at it? Faith is our currency, not money. Faith is our currency, because faith is the key to breakthrough in every single thing with the Lord. The Lord does not, he has all that we need. All that he requires is that we bring what we have, and we bring it to him through faith and say, Lord, you're able to do something greater than me. Here's where it says in Nehemiah 3. We're going to read three verses from Nehemiah chapter 3. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I would encourage you later on, maybe go and read the whole thing. Because here's the heart of the message this morning, is that they all did it together. They all took bits together. They all worked at this thing together. Elijah, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of Hundred, which they dedicated as far as the Tower of Haniel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zakur, the son of Imre, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hasaniah, and they laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. It seems like a lot of detail, but really what God's trying to grab our attention with this morning is this, is that was people after people, all sorts of different types of people, all different shapes and sizes, all from different backgrounds, whether it be sons, whether it be high priests, it was all sorts of different people, all fulfilling their roles. We have all sorts of families in here. We have all sorts of families, all with a role to play, all with an essential part to play in this rebuilding process. And God says, don't miss out on the fun. Don't miss out on the joy of what he's called you to. All of us are yearning, whether we believe it or not, because it's built into us. The King tells us this. God tells us this. All of us are yearning for eternal purpose and to be part of eternal purpose. We should be saying, wow, God. Thank you that I'm here for this time at this season, because you have put eternal purpose before me, and I want to be part of this eternal legacy and eternal destiny of the King of Kings. This is what the Lord has called us to. Be prayerful, be excited, be joyful, because the Lord has done great things. I want to look at a couple of quick things. The keys to success in this next season will be this. The people followed diligently after God. His voice was the voice that they responded to. His voice was the one that they listened to. Church, this morning, we are going to succeed best in our lives, and we're going to succeed best for the kingdom of God the more that we listen and the more that we follow God's voice. When was the last time we were listening? When was the last time we were following? And I want to encourage you this. This is not to condemn anybody, but you're going to have to fight for his attention. Not fight for his attention, attention, but fight that you can get out of your own attention, fight that you can get away from other people's attention and get into his presence. It is a fight. It is a struggle. You've probably found that. But once you get there, you realize, wow, there's nothing like being in his presence. There's nothing like hearing his voice. But God says this morning, I need you to be people of my presence and people that will seek me. Even when the work's not happening next door, there's a work that's happening inside of your heart, because we've got to be people that know his voice and follow his voice. And the second thing that we see from Nehemiah chapter 3 is that they were all working together. I cannot stress this enough. This is not going to be a work that will be achieved by few. This will be a work that will be achieved by many. I know this doesn't happen a lot in church. I know this doesn't happen. We want somebody else to do it. But God says, don't miss out on the joy of this thing. It's going to be achieved by many, not by few. The Lord is calling each and every one of us, and he says, come on, this is an exciting journey, and this is an exciting thing that we're going into. I want to look at a few different things from these scriptures this morning, and the first thing is this, is that it starts off with the high priest getting their game on, and they start to work, and they start to build the things. And I think this is really important, because God has drawn our attention to this. This is a spiritual thing. We're not going to just do physical work next door. We're not going to just build a physical building. We are going to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. So it's a spiritual work. There will be practical things in the sight of that. Of course there will. But we're going to do spiritual damage to the kingdom of the enemy. And so we've got to realize we've got to be spiritually tuned up. The high priest went first as a marker to say this is a spiritual task. We're going to build the wall. Of course we are. We're going to build the church. Of course we are. But this is a spiritual task. And so we keep focused that this is a spiritual thing. And I want to see this morning that, again, it was different families. So you had the priests at the beginning. Then you had the different families, the men of Jericho. You had different people from the sons of Anas. I've forgotten how to say that. But the sons of those guys. And they just came and they worked at the different gates. Because each one had a part. And each one came from different walks. And they all played their part in rebuilding the walls. But what you also notice is this, is that they built gates. And I think the Lord's trying to draw our attention is that we're not going to build a building that's going to keep a load of bad people out. We're going to build a building that's going to draw anyone and everyone in to see them saved and turned around from the kingdom of God. Because God doesn't build walls that are barriers. He builds walls that have gates so they can be opened and closed, so that people of all walks, all sizes, all shapes, all cultures, all races can come through those gates and be blessed by the King of Kings. But also that the gates would go two ways so that we would continue to go out. If we end up with a beautiful building next door and all we do is sit inside it and say, didn't we do well? We have lost the plot. We need to constantly remind ourselves that as we move forward, our outreach gets greater. And as we move forward, the door swings better as we go out rather than it swings as we go in, because the Lord is calling us to greater things. And you'll note this. There is a reason why it's called the sheep gate, and there's a reason why it's called the fish gate. And I'm going to share a couple of things with you this morning, what I believe the Lord wants to reveal to us. Is that the sheep gate is this. It's actually very simple. When Jerusalem was being rebuilt, they would have different things coming through different gates. And so they had a sheep gate because this is where the sheep came through. But I think this is really important, and this is a foreshadow of Christ, because Jesus was the lamb that was slain. And the first gate that they built before they ever built any wall was the sheep gate, a reminder that the most important block that we will build next door will be the cornerstone, will be Jesus. Even right from 3,000 years ago, the Bible was already pointing way ahead, saying the first gate you need to build in any project is the sheep gate, because the sheep gate reminds me of the lamb, and it was the lamb that was slain. When Jesus went to the cross, what did he do? He tore that rent veil in two so that people could come through it. And suddenly from that day to this day, people can come to him and they can step into his presence as they receive forgiveness and receive his blood. And this morning, church, we've got to remind ourselves that the first thing that we're going to build and the most important thing is that Jesus is at the center of all that we do. Not only is he the center of our lives, but he's the center of next door. Because again, we don't go to build this for our fame. We go to build this for him. The first thing that they built was the sheep gate. And I think, again, it's no coincidence that the second gate was the fish gate. What did Jesus ask the disciples when he first met them? He said, you are fishermen. What do I want to make you? Fishers of men. Whenever we get Jesus right, then salvation always happens. Whenever we promote Jesus high, then he always sees lives saved and transformed. And if we keep that recipe in the right order, and if we keep the right gate at the right place, which is the sheep gate, which is the Jesus gate, which is Jesus high and center, high and lifted up, and that he is our number one goal, if he is our number one goal, the second thing that always flows is salvation. Over this last 2 to 3 weeks, we've seen 7 people saved. That is not coincidence. It's coincidence. That is God confirming the season that we're in that says this is going to be a season of souls, not just a season of building blocks. This is a season of souls, and we're stepping into this because of all that God has done. God is a good God, and he's reminding us that it's about him and it's about the lost. And this is what the whole project is about, and this is what we're about. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and this is what we're going after. I want us to think about this morning. When we think more about what we're looking at this morning, Nehemiah 3, 1 to 3, we're thinking about this. Is that each person had a divided work, but they were all united together in a common purpose. And church, this morning, we've got to work on this, and we've got to work hard on this one. Is that each one of us kind of want to divide. We all like this idea of being independent. We all like this idea of if I maybe put him down or her down, maybe I'll get a bit higher up. And it's happened too often in church, and it's still happening, and we've got to eradicate it, and we've got to work hard against it. There are people that are on stage, and other people are looking at them saying, oh, they shouldn't be there. I wish I was there. And there are people on stage looking at somebody else thinking, I wish I had this and I wish I had that, because we have this kind of jealousy that we go after, or this kind of, we want to divide ourselves. We want to take ourselves out. And a hallmark of the work of Nehemiah was this, is that everybody worked at their work, and the work was divided, but the spirit wasn't. The people weren't divided. The work was divided, but the people weren't divided. In other words, everybody had a role, everybody had a purpose, and everybody worked together. And the way that we're going to promote this and the way we're going to encourage each and every one of our hearts is this, is that we're mindful of the people beside us and what they're working at, and we're there to help them if we can. You ever seen when a team gets together and they start to work, and they start to work well together? You know what I love about it? Is that, say, person A, whatever task they're doing, person B looks around and goes, I've got a quick minute, I'll go and help person A. That's the way they work. It's like whenever that team is working well together, everybody's looking out to try to help each other. Because what do they realize? They realize this, we're all working on the same thing. The sooner we all fulfill our rules, the sooner we get this whole thing done. And God says this morning, too many visions, too many God-ordained things that he has planned, and too many God-ordained moments, and too many God-ordained projects have failed because of divided people instead of divided work. We each will have a role to play here. Do not get worried about that. Do not get concerned about that. Each and every one of us will have a role. We'll all have a vital purpose, and it will be God-ordained, and it will be God-destined. But we're called to do it with those around us in mind. And if we can, we help out. And they help back. Because that's what we do. Divided work, but together with one goal, together working together. This is what it says in Matthew 12, 25. Jesus actually gets really serious about it. He says this. It says, but Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. The Lord gets really right on the money here, and he just hits it, and he just says, hey, guys, you got to realize, doesn't matter what kingdom it is, doesn't matter what purpose has been set in motion, doesn't matter how godly it is, doesn't matter how good it has been, doesn't matter how far back it's been set in time that it will happen, if people start to divide themselves against each other, this whole thing's falling apart. This whole thing's not happening. And maybe in the midst of all the joy and the excitement that we're looking forward to next door, God says, but you've got a work to do on your heart, because you've got to make sure that when you come, that you're a multiplier, not a divider. That when you come to the project, you're coming with a heart that wants to bring change, not a heart that wants to disturb change and wants to disturb hearts. And each and every one of us know what we face, and each and every one of us know the attitudes and the battles that we go through. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's being outspoken. Maybe it's I always like it my way and nobody else's way. They're all things that God's going to have to knock in the head, unfortunately. They're all things that God's going to have to change, because we're going to have to learn to work together. It's an incredibly difficult thing, but with God's help, we can do it. God's reminding us that, yes, it's a spiritual thing, but it's also a practical thing, because we're practical human beings. And we cannot just use his grace to cover over every single thing that we can have charge over and that we can work at. So work at the things that you know that you need to work at. Also important to know this It's important that as we go, that we go with the right spirit and we go with the right vision. We're talking about vision this morning. I remember the 10 spies and they go into the land to spy it out. You remember the story? It says 10 go, 10 come back, 2 come with a different report, 8 come with the same report. And you're like, who do we believe? The majority or the minority? It turns out that the 2 saw what was really there, but they saw it through eyes of faith. The other 8 saw it a different way because they weren't activating the faith. They weren't activating what God had told them, that the land was truly theirs. And church, this morning, we're going to have to know that as we go, it's not just enough to go. It's not just enough to get into this thing, but we've got to go with the right heart, with the right attitude, with the right vision. Otherwise, we'll see the right stuff, but we'll think of it the wrong way. And when they went to that place and they went to that promised land, what did they say? They saw the right stuff, but they thought of it the wrong way. And they said, we're just grasshoppers in their sight. We'll surely never do this. They will beat us up. They will overcome us. We will be defeated. We'll be embarrassed. We'll be fools. We'll be this. We'll be that. But Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can surely overcome this. We can surely do this because God is with us. Remember what we said? God is for us. He will give us success. Nehemiah 2:20, we've got to write that on our hearts. We've got to know that. They had a different mindset, different heart, different attitude. Third thing I want us to think about is this, the size of your assignment versus what you have to offer. I mean, I think sometimes what happens is we get an assignment from God and we feel like God has given us this role and then we start to think about but the little that we have. And the little that we have dominates more than the role that God's given us. And I want to encourage you this morning that God has given each and every one of us a role, and he's going to start to speak to us over these next few days and these next few weeks, and he's going to prompt you on this thing, he's going to prompt you on that thing. And our first reaction a lot of the times is like, oh, I couldn't do that, Lord. You know, I don't have this, I don't have that. But I want to read something from John 6:9. This is really what God's after, humility, not vast ability. John 6:9 says this, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Disciples said this. Followers of Jesus said this. We find a boy, Jesus. Jesus says, you've got to feed these 5,000. We can't send them away. We've got to feed them. They go out and they find this boy. It's the only one that they could find. Maybe he was the only one that was willing to offer what he had. I think this morning God wants to grab our attention. We have far more to offer than we think. But we think the little that we have is not good enough for the role that God's destined us to do. And God says it's more than good enough. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I can work with that. I think there was more there that day, but they just held it back. And I think, unfortunately, this is what we do, and we've got to shake ourselves, and we've got to encourage ourselves, and we've got to get the people around us saying, come on, you can do this. Encourage us, build ourselves up, because when we're around the right people, we'll believe the right stuff, and therefore we'll do the right things. So we've got to get around the right people, we've got to encourage our hearts. And instead of talking themselves out of the task that God had given them, this little boy says, I believe Jesus says what he says, what he can do. I'm going to bring my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. I'm going to give them to him. And what did he ultimately say? Jesus, you can take the little I have, you can multiply it, and you can do whatever you want. And I want to encourage us this morning. We don't know what God's going to do with our little. On that day, he multiplied that and turned it into 5,000 that would feed 5,000 men, women, and children on top. But he didn't know what Jesus could do. He just brought him what he had. And I think sometimes what we're doing is we're trying to figure out the end instead of just getting stuck in with the start and just do the bit that we can do and stop worrying about the end. Stop worrying about, well, this won't achieve much. This won't do much. What if they find out about this? What if this happens? What if I go back here? And just trust God with the little that you do have and say, hey, God, I recognize a mess. He knows you're a mess already. I mean, we should know that. He already knows you're a mess. So bring him the little that you do have and give it to him and say, yes, Lord, I'll present this at the altar. Yes, Lord, I'll give this little bit that I have. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Instead, you know what we have done for generations and for centuries and thousands of years? We've talked ourselves out of being part of the destiny and the assignments of God because we said, I'm not there yet. I don't have what it takes. I don't have enough yet. When I get here, then I'll do it. When I get there, then I'll do it. You know where all that comes from? Fear. And you're not filled with fear, you're filled with perfect love. And the Lord says this morning that you have all that you need, but you've got to give me it back. You've got to give me it back, the bit that you have, the time, the finance, the emotions, the heart. Give me everything. Give me all of those things and watch what I will do. I said already, but what God is really after is humility, not vast ability. It's not. We can have all those talents, we can have all those things, but if you don't give them to God, and if you haven't got the right heart, they will go absolutely nowhere. The boy had a willingness to give all that he had to Jesus, and he trusted Jesus and said, would this be enough? And the Lord said, it's more than enough. Because remember, they had baskets left over. What's the little that you have that when you place it into his hands, there'll be more than enough left over? That's a hard word for us to grasp because we're thinking physically instead of spiritually. And God says this morning, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Church, this morning we have an assignment that God has given us. And if we have an assignment, we've got to believe it. And we should be getting overwhelmed with excitement, not getting overwhelmed with, I don't know, anxiety or worry or this or that or worried about this thing. We have been far good, we have become far too good at being defenders instead of just being surrendered to Jesus. We don't have to go out and defend this, this, and that. We go out and we just say, God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? We're not worried. I'm not worried. I know that God's got this because I know that God is for us and I know that he will cause us to succeed. So I'm not worried. I'm actually a person full of joy and I'm going to receive that every morning. You know what I'm starting to do more and more? I'm starting to wake up and look behind myself and start to say, hey, where's goodness and mercy? Because it's new every morning. I'm starting to remind myself of that because otherwise the enemy wants to come and discourage you. It reminds you of this ache and this pain and this appointment and this bill and this thing and that phone call you've got to make that you don't really want to make and this thing that's going to happen this week and all of those different pressures. And before you know it, you think to yourself, what type of world am I living in? And what kind of faith have I got? And God says, you have amazing grace and you have joy that will overcome any hardship and will overcome any battle. And so, what's your assignment this morning? God has assignments for each and every one of us. And as we get them, this is what the Lord says. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Wow. Everything we do, whether it be our workplace, whether it be university, whether it be in college, whether it be in school, whether it be in church, oh my goodness, work at it with all your heart. You know what I loved about the story of Nehemiah and those people in Nehemiah 3 is that they worked with excellence because they recognized they were working kingdom work. Church, we've got to realize more and more and more and more and more and more is that we're working kingdom work. We're not just going to our job every day and working for this boss. We're actually working for the king. So we better start doing it a tiny bit better and with a tiny bit better heart because we're doing kingdom work. They had this excellent spirit. They had this zeal that said, we're going to do this thing. They said, we're doing this for the Lord. They didn't know Jesus yet. We're doing this for the Lord. We're doing this for the King of Kings. We're doing this for a greater purpose. Can I remind you of the city that they rebuilt was Jerusalem? Was that not a pretty important city? Was that not a pretty important, me again? Was that not a pretty important city? Was it not really essential to the gospel, really essential to the kingdom of God? We've got to realize this morning that this is a pretty important city and that God has his hand upon it and he's got his hand upon you. And as we put our hand to the plow, he will sustain you. He will enable you. You will not look back and you will move forward and you will do great things for the kingdom of God. Can we stand together? There are two questions I want to leave in our hearts this morning as the guys are getting ready. Lord, what is my assignment? That's a great question to ask the Lord. Lord, what is my assignment? And the question could be deeper than you think. Lord, what is my assignment? One that is not about me, one that's all about you. Lord, what is my assignment that it would promote other people above myself? Imagine that for an assignment. Lord, what is my assignment that I would go after the things that maybe scare me rather than the things that I'm really good at or that I would step out of my comfort zone? Lord, what is my assignment that it wouldn't just be my idea, but it would be your idea? What is my assignment, Lord? Hey, we have an assignment in the kingdom of God, and we have many assignments, whether it be to our family, whether it be our workmates, whether it be to the city of Armagh, whether it be to whatever God puts in your heart. But we have multiple assignments. What are our assignments this morning? And that's what we're asking ourselves. And then the second thing is this. Am I willing to work at it faithfully? Because all good things take time, and all good things take a while to come through. There's a journey, there's a time delay, there's a process. Are we willing to work at it faithfully? Church, we're going to step into something that's going to require a faithful diligence for years upon years upon years. And the Lord says, are you ready? And I believe he is already doing it in your heart. He's already doing it. Maybe you're anxious about it, but he's already doing it. He has built me for this moment at this time. no other. This is the moment, this is the time. He has built you for exactly the same. And so what is your assignment? And when you know it, and when you know what they are, will you work faithfully at it? Come on, let's pray this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that we would know your heart. Lord, I pray this morning that we would just know the things of God. Lord, I pray this morning you would grab our attention. Lord, there are so many things that want to distract us. There are so many things that want to remind us of our past, remind us about this, remind us about that. But Lord, as we step into this new season, Lord, there is victory, there is wholeness, there is destiny, there is purpose. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you're revealing to us our assignments, the things that you have placed before us, the things that our hands are made for, and that we would recognize this morning that, Lord, that you have purpose for me, that you have destiny for me, and that you've called me to work faithfully at those things. Lord, there'll be many fears, there'll be many anxieties, there'll be many worries, many concerns. But Lord, we will choose to not be dominated by those things. We will choose to be filled with the joy and the goodness and the grace of Jesus. Lord, you are our hope, you are our resurrection, you are our destiny. And Lord, we get to become part of your destiny. We get to become part of your purposes, which is absolutely incredible, absolutely incredible. And so, Lord, I pray that over these next few days and these next few weeks, Lord, as you're just bringing this thing to a head, as you're just moving things to a point of let's do this, let's do that, practically, that, Lord, spiritually, we're seeking you. We remind ourselves of the first thing that they built was the sheep gate. Lord, we remind ourselves this morning that the first thing that we need to build on is our relationship with Jesus. If it is weak, then everything else falls and follows from that. But if we build it strong, if we are committed to him, if we build our lives on him, suddenly we are unmovable. And then as they built that wall, it just talks about 100. And I just think instantly about the 99. Think instantly about the 100 sheep and one goes missing. And then they get to the sheep gate, second gate. And Lord, would you keep our focus on the number one thing, which is Jesus? But as we focus on the number one thing, it automatically leads us to the number two thing, lost souls, people. That fish gate. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you would align our hearts, focus our minds, and that we would say, Lord, I've made for this, I'm born for this, I'm excited for what you're going to do next. Draw us close, Lord, lift us high, let us lift you high, and go after the things of God like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, we're going to worship the Lord this morning.